Okay. The topic for this evening actually comes from the opening pasuk of our parsha in a very surprising kind of a way. Parsha, which of course begins Sefer Shmos, not just Parsha Shmos, begins very well known, very famous opening pasuk. Ve'ele Shmos b'nei Yisrael, Habayim Mitzrayim Eis Yaakov, Ish Uveso Ba'u. So this opening pasuk about those that were coming down to Mitzrayim with Yaakov and his family is cited in a number of Sfarim, but it's most well known and associated with the Sefer the Levush as being a mnemonic. That the Rosh HaTevis, the first letters of the opening of the pasuk, refer the first eight letters of the Ele Shmos, really are a mnemonic. V'chayiv Adam Likros HaParsha Shnayim Mikra V'echa Targum. That's the Ele Shmos. In fact, not as well known perhaps, but I saw today that the Baal HaTurim actually goes even further. Because the Gemara, which we'll get to in a moment, that discusses the idea of Shnayim Mikra V'echa Targum, the Gemara says that if you will do it, it is a skula for Arichas Yomim. So the Baal HaTurim has a different mnemonic. Because he goes through a few extra words. He says, V'odam asher lomeid ha-seder Shnayim Mikra V'echa Targum. B'kol Na'im, in a nice voice, B'kol Na'im, Yichye, and that's 2 yuds, you need the 2 yuds for that, Shanim Rabos, Aruchim La'olam. Aruchim La'olam. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes in the opening of our parsha, and either way, it's well known and associated, there's, you know, Shnamek HaBarak HaTarim is a Din D'Rabbanan, it's not an Asmachla, there's no Pasuk that's quoted by Chazal, of course, to as a source, but yet, Parsha Shmos is the time where it's often spoken about because of whatever reason this seemed to be the place where various Chachamim found reference to the concept of Shnayim Mikra V'echa Targum. The Gemara that actually discusses it, the Gemara in Shas that discusses it, is on Brachos Daf Chesam at Aleph, the bottom to Daf Chesam at Beis. And the Gemara there tells us the name of Rav Ami, Li'olam Yashlim Odom Parshiosav Im HaSibor. You should keep the Pashtus, the simple understanding of the Gemara is you should, on your own, complete the Parshios along with the Tzibor, so if they're up to Shmos, you should be doing Shmos, etc. Shnai Mikra, and not just learning it, but learning it twice, the Echa Targum, and you should even do the Targum, presumably the famous Targum Unkelus. And then the Gemara tells us that it even makes a reference to some of the cities that are mentioned in Matos Masei, the travels, you know, like Devon, something like that, and even those, what's the pshat, even those? That's a huge discussion, actually, Rashi, Tosfos, and some others, but the simple understanding is that even those, which are names, so there's no targum on it, the targum is the same word. That's what Rashi says, and Tosfos says, well, if that's the only explanation, so then why pick such an obscure reference? What about Shimon and Levi? What's the targum on that? So there's a little bit of discussion what this afilu is, but even these names, everything has to be done. And then the Gemara adds, as I alluded to, Shekhal Amashlin Parshiosev Matibor, Marichin Lo Yom Vishanosov. It's a skula for long life. So the rest of the shir is going to be focusing on the way almost everyone understands this halacha and this Gemara. But just to mention, since it is, so to speak, out there and it's so different, and that is that the Hagat Maimonides and Perkei Gimel of Hilchos Tefillah quotes the Ra'avon, who seems to be medayik in this reference to Hatzibor, Im Hatzibor, what's Pshat Im Hatzibor? So I kind of unliterally translated it, non-literally translated it, which is the consensus, frankly, but he was medayik in it. He said it refers to someone who lives in a krach, who lives in some small town, and he can't get a minion. But he knows it's 9 o'clock on Shabbos morning, you know, or it's 10 o'clock, whatever it is. He knows when in the big city they're getting up to Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore he should try to correspond at the same time that they're laning, he should say it himself. We have such an idea in davening, right? If you can't get the shul, daven at the same time the shul is davening. And why mikra twice? It's alluding to the Baal Koreh and the Ola. The Ola is also supposed to be reading, and we know that there was a time in history where they also used to have a Matargim who did the translations of it, and that was all part of the formal Kriyas HaTorah process. So the Rabban limits this halacha obviously very significantly to someone who's in a very difficult and hopefully rare situation. But as I said, that's really not l'halacha. I mean, it could be l'halacha if you're in that case. Somebody just called me today about some Chashav Shailas because they have a wedding of some non-frum friends somewhere out in the middle of Maryland. And the wedding starts, you know, 5 minutes after Shabbos. You know, it's a late Saturday afternoon wedding. And this person, he has to be at the wedding. So he's out by himself in this hotel in the middle of nowhere for Shabbos. So he didn't ask me this Shiloh. But in theory, maybe you'd say, you tell him, try to be mechavin like this Ravon at the time that we're laning, you should do that. But certainly, to the extent that you want to hold like the Ravon to pater you from Shlamagur HaTargum, I don't think it will work. The Shulchan Aruch discusses Shlamagur HaTargum and Simon Reish Pehei, and he discusses it in the way that most of you are even at least somewhat familiar before you came into tonight's shiur. So, but that is just, it's a Ravon that's worth knowing. Where does the Takana come from? The Gemara itself doesn't say. But it's interesting, the Aruch HaShulchan, when he quotes the Salacha, the Aruch HaShulchan, without any real proof, but he just assumes that, well, it probably goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that the idea of having regular Kriyas HaTorah is a Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Aruch HaShulchan just assumes. The Stama, when Moshe Rabbeinu enacted that, he enacted Shnai Mikra Vechatargum as well. But he doesn't really have a proof for it, and L'may Nafkamina, I'm not sure either. But it is just where it's an interesting Ha'ara of the Aruch HaShulchan. That's an interesting question, but it's worth noting, I don't know when historically people really became aware of Targum Onkelos, but there is a Masorah, which in fact we'll get to, if the time permits, by the end of the Shir, in some of the Achronim, some of the Poskim, that Onkelos really comes from Sinai. Now, does that mean it got, you know, discovered in whatever century, but we believe it was inspired by Sinai, or was it Mamash given at Sinai, maybe different Pas Moshe and the new people knew, which would obviously be a bigger Chiddush. I'm not an expert. There was, you know, when I was in YU, and I guess it's still true, you know, in the Bible department, especially in the graduate school in Revel, there were all sorts of classes on Targumim. So for those who are interested, they probably learned a lot. I was never interested. So I have to be honest. I don't know so much. I don't know so much about this. But I know what it says in the meat and potatoes farm, and the boss of Yain. So they quote that there's such a notion that it comes from Sinai.
It.
Well, we're going to get to really again, time permitting, we're going to get to that to see how flexible one can be in the definition of Targum, and that's, of course, the big issue of Rashi and other substitutes. But there's no question, Alan, that the Rishonim understood, and even the Shulchan Aruch understands, that when the Gemara said Targum, it meant a specific Targum, and most likely Targum Onkelos. So why? Why do you have to do this? What was the purpose? Moshe or Chachamim at some point, what was the Gedera then? What were they trying to accomplish, Bechlal? What are we doing this for? The Truma Hadeshen has a tshuva in Siman Chaf Gimel, and I may have mentioned this to you before, but it's always worth noting that the Truma Hadeshen is notable in that he's not the only one, or not necessarily the first, but certainly one of the earliest of the tshuva svarim who wrote not only the answers, but he also wrote the questions. It was more of a rhetorical, you know, a literary device instead of just writing up a shtickl Torah. So he understood, you know, the lesson of the Seder night, which is the question and answer grabs people's attention more. So he wrote the questions and the answers. And he deals with the question, which we'll get to momentarily, about whether the Chiyuv of Shemek Recha Targum applies for the Yomim Tovim leaning. Perhaps to Haftorahs as well, but especially the Yom and Tom and Laning. That was his big shayla. But besoch that tshuva, so he points out that there seems to be a machlokas rishonim about what the purpose of about what this is. And in fact, if you take a look in the Aruch HaShulchan, I don't believe that he quoted the Trumas Hadeshin, but he more or less mimics the presentation that's at least initially in the Trumas Hadeshin. And that seems to be as follows. There are some Rishonim, for example, the Ramban, who understand that the purpose of this halacha was kind of like a yearly plan. You know, Meir Shapiro came up with Daf Yomi, and that's in 7 years, and other people have different formulas to do Mishnah Berurah, I think, what, in a whole year, right? And there's all these other Yomis and Shana, all these Limudim. Well, they all were ripping off the original Moshe Rabbeinu or the original Chachamim, because they understand that the purpose was for your, the kids. You know, Jews are supposed to be literate. supposed to be the people who built the Taka as a compliment, not the way it was originally intended, that's the comment. And therefore, it's supposed to be, the Jews are supposed to be literate, and therefore we're supposed to have a basic bekiyus in the Chumash, and therefore we're supposed to be doing this yearly. Now, you could have made it every 2 years, you know, that you could argue that it's somewhat arbitrary, and why twice? Okay, so the answer is to review. Maybe it should be three times, you know, it's hard for me to...
When they had the three-year cycle, it was over three years.
Correct. And again, the idea seems to be that since anyway you have a structure in place, which certainly goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu of a Kriyas HaTorah, whatever pace it was, so to keep up with that, that was more like a model, like we're piggybacking off of that. But fundamentally, according to this approach, it's not really anything, it's not a din in Kriyas HaTorah. It's a din, if you will, in Talmud Torah, you know, which is in the Difacheret Nashachar, to just illustrate the point. It's a din in Talmud Torah. We're supposed to be, now it looks like the Levush quotes this idea, period, the Levush says, Shetei Bekiyim B'Torah, we're supposed to become experts, we're supposed to be knowledgeable. And that, as I said, that seems to go back to Ramban and others based on this Gemara.
Something more than that. You have to land with the time and condition also.
Maybe not. That's not clear. Some hold that you have to, but that's lavdafka. Now, those who point that, a lot of people do it with the tamim. And if I remember correctly, I think the poskim who quoted from more mystical or kabbalistic sources. But anyway, there's a second approach, however, which is actually the first one in the Trumas Hadeshen that he quotes. But there's a second approach, which the poskim point out, Trumas Hadeshen and others, seems to go back to the Rabbeinu Chananel. When the Gemara turns over the page at the Avchesam at Beis, it tells the story, I don't remember offhand though, of a particular chacham who wanted to wait until, at least our version of the Gemara is until Erev Yom Kippur, to do the whole year's Shnai Mikra. And they told him this is not such a good idea, because this is actually one of the Gemaras. If you wondered why in Brachos of all places is there the famous Gemara about eating on Erev Yom Kippur, the answer is because of this, because this Chacham had the idea of spending the whole day doing Shnai Mikra before Yom Kippur, it would be a nice chus. They told him, that's nice, but that's misuse of your time. When Erev Yom Kippur, you're supposed to have a different mitzvah of eating. So in that Gemara, take a look, the Rabbeinu Chananel seems to have a different nosach, and without getting into the details and the technicalities of the situation, he really seems to be describing a different situation. They used to have what they called the Yarchei Kalos, which were two different four-week periods in the course of the year where they were all having these intensive learning. And in those weeks, Rabbi Chananel understands that this Tana was talking about those particular weeks, and Dafka learning the Parsha, the Shnai Mikra, in order to keep up with those particular lanings. And what the Trumas Hadeshen and others seem to extrapolate from this Rabbeinu Chananel is a different model. And that is that when you show up to shul on Shabbos morning, it's not supposed to be the first time you're hearing about the Kriyas HaTorah. Now we know that's echoed in the fact that we lane on Sheni B'Chamishi as well. But it's not just Sheni B'Chamishi. You're supposed to have already gone through it knowing what, and therefore it'll be a much more engaging and in theory, almost even interactive or at least dynamic experience. And not just as a passive listener. The mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah is not just for some Baal Korei to read it, though he's the only person supposed to know the Parsha. We're all supposed to know the Parsha. And how well are you going to know it if you just sit there, you know, half asleep and distracted? And you're supposed to have prepared for that. You're supposed to be preparing for that. It's interesting, the Aruch HaShulchan, who seems to quote this idea as well, he, and then I saw also some other sources, they quote that perhaps, you know, as we say in the Tefillah, that the purpose of learning is Lishmoa, Lelamed. So he said the Lishmoa is the Kriyas HaTorah. The Lelamed is what we do beforehand. It's our actual learning. And why Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum? So he suggests that perhaps it refers to the three times the Jewish people, so to speak, got the Torah in the Midbar. They got it on Sinai. Then each time Moshe went into the Ol Moed over the course of the 40 years. And then Arvos Moav. Prima Gadam quotes this idea of where the number three perhaps comes from as well. I'm not sure if this is meant to be more very down-to-earth, if you will, or more quasi-mystical. But again, the whole model being focusing on the mitzvah of a Kriyas HaTorah. It's interesting. I saw, I didn't read it carefully enough to give it to you so clearly, but if you're interested, you can take a look further. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in the introduction to his Sefer on Chumash, the Emes Liakov, has a whole essay about learning in Chumash and Nach, and he seems to have a theory which he's, again, I didn't see it to know how far he's developing this, but the Kitzur, the part that was relevant for us, which is on page 11, Amud Yud Aleph and his Akdama, says that there's two dinim. There's what he calls Kriya and Limud. Two separate things. And he suggests that perhaps that's what's going on in the Shnayim Mikra as well. You do it once, Bataras Kriya, and then you do it a second time, Bataras Limud. And in fact, Rav Yaakov suggests, even in terms of the method, which again, time permitting, we'll get to at the end of this year, well, how do you do it? Is it Pasuk by Pasuk? You do every Pasuk twice, then the Targum, you do every Pasuk once on the Targum, you do Pasuk, Targum, Pasuk. How do you do it? There's different Minhagim. And Rav Yaakov has his own unique Shita about how to do it, and it flows from his Mahalach about these two dinim of Mikra and Limud. But be that as it may, it seems that we have to point one other thing, that there are those who say a variation of this second approach of Rabbi Hananel, there are those who specifically tie into the fact that the original minug was when the person got an aliyah, he's the one who had to read. So you didn't want to be, there's a famous medrash, I think about Rabbi Akiva, of all people, that he got called up to an aliyah, and he didn't go because he didn't know it, and obviously it was embarrassing. So that's a variation of Rabbi Hananel. Rabbi Hananel does not say that, but it's similar to Rabbi Hananel, and that, again, it's specifically focusing on being prepared for the Kriya Satorah. Alternatively, we have this other approach of Ramban, and Lavush is very clear that he thinks this is the reason, which is that we're supposed to be Bekiyim in Chumash. I had a friend, I have a friend, I hope we're still friends. You know, guys don't have to talk, stay friends. We're not like girls, the difference. But we haven't spoken in a little while, but a good friend of mine who's a real fine young Talmud Chacham, who I think in high school was, I think, where did he go for this? I think he heard this in Yeshiva for Rockaway. Maybe in Israel, I'm not sure where you heard this from. Anyway, he told me that I used to see him, and he was always learning. He wasn't just Shnai Mikra. He was always even learning, like, Tanakh. I remember once seeing him, like, before Mincha, like, with the Das Mikra. Like, what are you doing? You know, learning Tanakh in Israel. Anyway, so he said, I had a Rebbe once who told me, you know, we're not supposed to become reverse Karoim. You know, it sounded so heretical. You mean we're not? Anyway, but, you know, we're supposed to know Tanakh. We're supposed to know all of Torah, but it's certainly the Chumash. We're supposed to know it. So that's a totally separate approach, it would seem. And you had a question? We'll take a question in a second. But just what I want to do next is show 3, 4, 5, perhaps, nafgamina based on this. And if time permits, even after that, so then we'll go through just a summary of some of the basic halachos of how to do it, what to do, who's chayiv, tsanurana, which is quoted by Mishnah Berurah, a discussion, Yiddish, the Arya Kaplan Chumash versus the Stone Chumash. We'll see if we have time for that stuff. Yeah.
There's a discussion by Chris Torah about Kari can prepare by the Shnai Mikra.
Can he prepare for Chris Torah? What does that mean?
The Mishnah Berurah says you have to read it 3 times before you lean. And he says that...
Really? I'm not familiar with this.
I think in the Bar Aleph,
I haven't lain since my bar mitzvah, so now you know why. I didn't know that.
So I think he has a discussion with Rosh Hashanah Mikra Kantos.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think he understands it.
There's a different discussion, which is whether we listening to Kriyas HaTorah can count that. I'm used to that. I'm not the leaner. I'm the listener. But if you're a leaner, that's an interesting question. I don't know. So nafgamina number one is the large discussion with many, many different variations, although we'll try to keep it to the basic shittas. The large discussion about when are you supposed to do Shnai Mikra Bai? What is the ideal time to do Shnai Mikra Bai? So Shulchan Aruch discusses this here in Reish Pei Hei Siv Dalet, and he quotes a number of shittas. The first thing he says is mitzvah min hamuvchar, you should do it, you should finish by Shabbos lunch. Then he says, at least if not by Shabbos lunch, then by Shabbos afternoon mincha. Then he says a third shita, and if you can't even do that, then you have till Wednesday. You know, it's like the old Haggadah trick. And then he says, Shulchan Aruch, the first thing he says, and if you can't do it by then, well, at least you should finish by that year Shmini Atzeres. Which the Rama has, you mean Simchas Torah for Bnei Chutz La'aretz. So let's unpack these shitas. Where do they come from? So the Haggadah Maimonides, which I alluded to before, the same Haggadah Maimonides that quoted the Ravon. So earlier in that same piece, he quotes the Rabbeinu Simcha, who says that if someone missed Shnai Mikra 1 week, he's there who says, from a Rishon, that you can make it up a whole year. You can make it up a whole year until Simchas Torah. In fact, the Kaf HaChayim, here in the same Siman, Chavav, quotes that as well. on a much on the other extreme and much more reasonable that we would expect, more l'chachila. So the Mishnah Berurah says actually it's even more. The Shacharei Aruch said Shabbos morning, or Shabbos afternoon, I should say, or late morning. But the Mishnah Berurah says, quotes from some poskim who say the real ideal is you should finish on Erev Shabbos. You should finish before the laning. And you should finish Erev Shabbos. The ideal is to finish on Friday.
Before the laning would be later than Friday.
What?
You lay on the Shabbos in the morning, right?
So you should, and the ideal thing is to finish on Friday before going into Shabbos. So I think it's Kabbalistic. There are some things we talk about, Dafka Erev Shabbos, some school or something to that effect, I believe, of Erev Shabbos. Then there are others who, again, as I mentioned before, the Mishnah Berurah here in Sifkat and Beis discusses about Kriyas HaTorah, and most poskim hold, for whatever reason, that Shomea Ka'ono wouldn't work, that just listening is not enough. But if your Mishnah Berurah says famously, if you read along quietly with the Baal Kare, then perhaps that could count. In the back of the standard of Vilna Shasas, where you have a little bit of these various Hagos, you have, you know, the Maritz Chiyas and various different Yaakov Emden and different things. So one of the things you have also is the Hagos of Elazar Moshe Horowitz. And he says that you should dafka go through before laning. Because, and he mentioned something that I said before, because the point is that you have to be fluent enough so that you shouldn't have what happened in the Medrash Rabbi Akiva, that you should get called up and you should not know what to do. What if you do fall behind? What if, Mamish, it's already Wednesday of the next week? Which, you know, what do you do? So first of all, we said, according to those, there's already a Rishon and Hagos, as you can do all the way to Simchas Torah. But let me ask you this. I'm behind on Parsha Shmos. So what am I going to do next week? Should I do the Shnai Mikra of Shmos? Mayor, what do I do? So the Marsham was asked the Shaila. The Marsham, you know, it's like, I would have thought, like, life advice. Like, you know, I wasn't sure that's how halachic a question that is. But the Marsham was asked such a Shaila, and he gives a very commonsensical, Rebbish answer. Not so strictly halachic answer. He says, listen, it depends. What's going to be? If you'll catch up, if I tell you to do Shmos next week, but by the end of the week, you'll have done both. So then, you know, you should still be working on last week's parsha this week. But if you're still going to be just further behind, I'll be still not by Shmos, and then by next week I'll be doing Ambo. And then you'll never get to this. In that case, then you just put it in the back pocket. You hold it. And then you wait until sometime you're free. You know, nowadays with the phones and the Palm Pilots and stuff, and people have Chumash, so, you know, we live in a town where people mostly commute by car and don't even have such long commutes. But there are people, even in Baltimore, who have longer commutes, and there are people who even commute by train and other things. So if you have these things, you know, it could be the middle of the winter, but you missed one of the summer parshas. So he says, you know, you'll make it up whenever you could, make it up. But if you can keep up, if you're going to be able to get back into it, then he says you should try to do it even with Shas Maisa. Yes? From the beginning. Everything should be on Shabbos?
Ideally, it should be done on Shabbos.
Everything? What, like Shabbos morning or the whole day?
I don't remember.
Interesting. That's interesting, because the Gra is well known. They quote in the Mishnah Berurah from the Maisa Rav, the Gra had this thing, you know, of the every day in a little list, you know. Right. So, Lamaisa, with all of these details, and these are various variations, but fundamentally, the Trumas Hadeshen in the Tshuva himself already makes the point that Lachora, this is connected to what we're talking about. Because first of all, the more Lachachila you see it as being done before Shabbos or before Shabbos morning, obviously the more that would seem, first of all, lean toward the approach of Kriyas HaTorah. But secondly, he said the very fact that we could make it up, the fact that the Rishon will say you can make it up, and then especially those who say, as long as it's by Simchas Torah. So says the Trumas Hadeshen, and the Trumas Hadeshen quotes that Hagos Mamonios, says that doesn't make sense if the purpose is to prepare for Kriyas HaTorah. That only makes sense if the purpose is that every year a Jew is supposed to be chazering the Torah, and then it works out perfectly. It's symbiotic. That at the same time that the whole Klal Yisrael is finishing on Simchas Torah, there's actually two siyumim. There's a siyum that the whole Jewish people had, and then there's my personal siyum that I finished. It's very beautiful. So that's not an Achronish HaTorah. That's already the Trumas Hadeshen makes that tulia. That this whole shaila of making it up and by when you should try to do it or not, all of that lechora is really dependent on these two approaches. Now, I alluded to the fact that the Trumas Hadeshin's Shaila, the original Shaila of Trumas Hadeshin, was about laning on Yontif. Right? So depending on what Yontif it is, it may be a parsha you're going to get to, and it may be a parsha you've already read in the weekly Sedra. So do you have that week to do a special Shnai Mikra on the five Aliyahs or whatever it will be for that particular Yontif? So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins Lakula, that there's no chiyuv for the laning on Yomim Tovim. And this really goes back to that, the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen is one of us, not the first to discuss it. And sure enough, again, if you take a look inside the Trumas Hadeshen, not only does he give the Psak, but he gives the Lomdus as well. And the Trumas Hadeshen says again, because if you assume, which the Trumas Hadeshen does, and it seems like the Shulchan Aruch does, if you assume that the purpose is for becoming a Baki B'Torah, so then, as long as over the course of the year I'll get to that Parsha, or I've already had that Parsha, there's no special need to be preparing for the Yontif laning. If you held that the whole purpose is Kriyas HaTorah, and I should be an active listener, let alone if I get called up, I can be a reader, so then what's the difference if I'm going to have Pinchas later in the year, or I'm going to have Achri Mos, or whatever, what's the difference? Right now I've got to make sure that I'm bucky, and that it's on my fingertips, and so that I can be an active listener, in case I get called up. The fact that L'chora, the Shulchan Aruch is clear that we don't paskin that way, so the Trumas Hadeshin is a raya, like this Rabbeinu Simchan, Hagos Mamonios, with Simchas Torah, it's all a Shitasam, that it doesn't really about the Kriyas HaTorah per se, that's just a good way to keep pace. It's an ideal way to keep pace even. But Lamai says, Mi'akra Adin, as long as I finish by the end of the year, that's enough, because the purpose is my general, you know, annual review and Bekiyas. What about Haftorah? What about Haftorah? Do you have to do a Shnai and Mikra? And I think there's some Targumim for sure on Haftorah, on Nas as well. So what about that? So also, discuss the Trumas Hadeshin questions this. And the Ramah says, the Ramah paskins that there is no need, but some have a custom. That's the way the Ramah quotes. And again, the Trumas Hadeshin suggests that this is also dependent. But it'll go in the other direction now. Because if the purpose is to become a baki, so it doesn't matter how many Haftorahs you listen to, you're never going to get through that. That's not all Tanakh. So if the idea is to finish every year to make a Siyum, that doesn't make any sense. But if the purpose is that you should be a baki in what you do, a reading in shul, especially in those communities where they have the custom to read Haftorah from a class, maybe you'll get maftir. I remember, really, it was an awesome thing. It pains me to say I already forgot which particular tzara in Eretz Yisrael was happening, because over the last 10-plus years, they run together, Nebuch. But the last year, I think it was the last year I was in NYU, or the year before coming to Baltimore, there was one particularly terrible time, and somebody, somewhere, there was an international Yom Kippur Katan that year, and it happened to be, this is years later, this is more recently, this is more, yeah, but I'm talking more recent than that, so happened to be that time, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein happened to be here in America, and they had it, for those of you who know the Yeshiva University campus, it was in Lamper Auditorium, and they documented something very beautiful. They had everybody together. It was the high schools were all there, officially Stern College, they had an Ezra's Noshim, and they dafka made for all of the kibbutim, for the Balkores and the Chazans and the Ola and the Aliyahs. They dafka went out of their way to pick Rebbeim from all of the different schools, Tamamish, it was like 2,000 people there, to Ma'achid, everything. And I'll never forget that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein got the maftir. So first of all, I'll never ever forget his aliyah. The brachos were mamish from the deepest place. I was almost crying just to hear him get his brachos in that aliyah. It was that inspiring. But the best part was that my friend, who, for those of you who know, is one of the best Bali Kriyas over here, Tzvi Ram, who was the Bal Kore, Tzvi Ram. So in NYU, the Beis Medrash, they have the minog to use a cloth for Haftorah, and they had brought the cloth for the Haftorah as well. And he just assumed that he would read the Haftorah, that the Rosh Yeshiva would say the brachas, and he would read the Haftorah. And he told me, but he did, everyone witnessed, saying, Einu Re'inu, the Rav Lichtenstein did the Haftorah. But he told me afterwards that when he was about to, Rav Lichtenstein, what we were doing, about to make the brachas, he kind of, in a nice kind of way, said, I guess kind of keeping his talus on, kind of assuming that, he would do it. And I wasn't seen in a humble way, but a very matter-of-factly basically told him, I got it. Yeah. And I remember just being struck, that I couldn't just walk up there. And, he didn't know he was getting maftir until 3 minutes before. But certain people are makiyim. So, Lamaisa, if you could be a baki like that in Tanakh, So then maybe it would make sense to say you should be doing it on a weekly basis. But Lamaisa, you're still not going to, you know, you're not just like going to be there. I don't know, I'm curious, maybe someone knows what his minhag is. Does he do this maybe every week? Then it's less Superman and more just Mossman man. But be that as it, maybe, and that might be a bigger compliment. He did perfect. How did he do? Good question, Alan. You're a former Talmud, if I'm not mistaken, right? How do you think he did? Anyway, be that as it may, again, the Truma Tzedeshin says, L'chaora, this is connected, because if you hold that it's to prepare for the laning, so then, of course, that'll include Haftorah as well. But if you think about it as a Siyam, it doesn't make sense. Yeah?
I've heard the Philippian where the one hears it from the clock and shul, then one would not say it for himself, but if the one isn't, that hears it from the Chumash, then you would say it.
We're not talking about whether you are, as the listener, are saying it. The Shaila is during the week, let's say, so I have a chiv of shnayim mikra on Haftorah. That's the Shaila.
Oh, even
if there's going to be a klaf, do I have a chiv in advance to do shnayim mikra? Same as chumash, exactly. Another nafkamina, which again can fall out depending on the year, the way the calendar falls out, and depending on if you're either a bachar in Eretz Yisrael who's home for Pesach, or if you're in America, and you know, which is, what about those times where it turns out that you either, you know, hear an extra, you know, parsha, or sometimes you are in America. This happens a lot for the Bachram, who come home for Pesach, and depending on how the calendar works out, is it this year? Okay, exactly. So we have a Shavuos Friday Shabbos. That's perfect. So in Eretz Yisrael, they're usually mistama laning parshas, not so, and we're still laning, and it takes a few weeks until they get back together. So what about those cases? Do you say that then wherever you go, you're still mechuyev in the Shnai Mikra where you were, or can you take into account what happened previously? So
And you miss the parsha.
Well, and depending on which direction you go, you can either miss a parsha from America to Eretz Yisrael, or if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're b'nei chutzot to Eretz Yisrael, then you'll hear it twice.
Right.
You hear Nassau twice. If you went to an Eretz Yisrael, the communion. Good. Okay. So Lamaisa, the Chuvas Betzel HaChachma, that was the brother of the Debert Ziner. Debert Ziner went to Brooklyn and he went to Australia. He was in Australia. They're both Hungarian or Romanian originally, but they split up to conquer the world. And the Betzel Stern, the Betzel HaChachma, he was from Australia. The chief rabbi in Switzerland, the name Yaffa Schlesinger, it's a multi-generational great rabbinic dynasty in Switzerland. So the current one, who has shuvas called the Be'er Sarim, he is the son-in-law of the Betzel Chachma.
Book
that's
not my friend mentioned. That book used to say
Betzel Chachma?
No.
The Be'er Sarim. Okay, so okay. Well, I'm not mentioning him per se. I don't know what he says or Shnai Mikra, but he's the son-in-law. Anyway, so he actually seems to spend some time in Eretz Yisrael because there's a shul Betzel Chachma in Eretz Yisrael, which he's the rov of. This is how I know he's the son-in-law. Anyway. So he has a tshuva like this, and he basically says it's all connected. L'chora, it's all connected. If you hold that the whole purpose of this is to prepare for the Kriyas HaTorah, so then we'll either be machmer on you and require you to do it a second time, or in the other direction, we'll be mekel on you if it turns out that you've missed that part. Sure, leave aside it, whether that's appropriate or not, how can you make it up or not. But l'maisa, we will be mekel on you. But if you say that the way the Shulchan Aruch seemed to hold, and the way the Truma Tzedeshin seemed to hold, that the purpose is not just to be a baki. So then it's not going to be a consistent psak, then it'll be in a kula in one direction and a churma in another direction. Namely, the bottom line is, as long as you will, in the case where you missed going from America to Eretz Yisrael, then you're going to have to make it up, because it's going to do with the Kriyas HaTorah. Maybe you'll never hear that parsha in Kriyas HaTorah. We still have to make it up. And in the other direction, if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you come back to America, but you did it already, if you did it already, you don't have to do it a second time. But the next week, they're going to read a parsha, not so a second time for me, and maybe I won't know it, maybe I have to be an active listener again. No, it doesn't matter, because the purpose is to make a Siyam on Torah at the end of the year, and I've already done that. That's what the Betzel HaChachma says. Okay, so those are the four nafkamina that I could think of or saw in the poskim that seem to relate to this basic shaila. Just in the we have 10 minutes left, so let's just go through some of the four or five basic halachos, which are the potpourri of things which we haven't yet covered, and just consider them halacha lamaisa. So number one, which we did allude to briefly, is the question of what's the method, how are you supposed to do it. So the Mishnah Berurah says there's two basic methods, and either one is fine. Either you do each pasuk two times, and then you do the targum, Eilishmos, Targum, next pasuk. Or, says the Mishnah Berurah, second approach is that you go parsha by parsha. And here it does not mean Eilishmos, it means the, you know, the psukha or the stuma. You go parsha by parsha, you do the psukim, and then you go back and you do the Targum. The Magen Avraham and the Shari Tshuva prefer the first approach, the pasuk by pasuk. The Shevet Alevi in her tshuva quotes that the Chafetz Chaim, the personal minhag, was also that first approach of pasuk by pasuk. The Rivos Ephraim, who
what are they doing it chumash twice and then parsha?
Yes. Either each pasuk twice or each parsha twice, but then and then targum. Yes, exactly. Yes, and then the Rivos Ephraim quotes. That he saw Eidos, he says with his own eyes. What was Rav Moshe's minug? Rav Moshe's first laned twice the whole thing. I think he said the whole thing. Yeah, let me give one second. I'll even read it to you. Not that. But what did he do? He did it Shabbos afternoon. Shabbos achrei atzaraim, avar shnai mikra mila b'mila. V'achar kach unkulus. V'achar kach em Rashi v'Ramban. K'mosh avar pam rishona achrei shekemat. I in Shana over al kol zeh mimenu yishlo. Yeah, it's not 100% clear to me. It's not 100% clear to me from this if which of the approaches he was taking. But that's if we're collecting Maisa Ravs, so this is a source. This is a source for Rav Moshe. The interesting thing is the Aruch HaShulchan, which. First is the way I read this from Moshe, but now I'm not sure. The Aruch HaShulchan actually has a third approach, which is possibly doing the whole Parsha, Mamash, the whole Sedra, twice. The only thing that's a little bit weird about that is if you're supposed to do the Targum to understand the Psukim, so to have done the whole thing and then to go back, I'm not sure, but in the end, really all options seem to be okay. I had mentioned before the Yaakov Kamenetsky, so here's where he comes in, because he had this thing approach about first Mikra, and then Limud, so he actually suggests that it would be connected. He suggests perhaps a type of a compromise. Do it first one way. When you're doing just Mikra, do it, do the Psukim. And then when you're doing the second Mikra, then you could do each Parsha. And then you could do the Targum. And he suggests, again, I didn't read it so carefully, surely you chazer that, but he has this whole shtickle how that somehow will tie into his two dinim. So, and the big issue, which was alluded to before by, I think, Rabbi Oberstein meant to ask, which Moshe Berurah discusses, which is what about the order of Torah versus Targum, which is, I think, what you're getting at. If you did Torah first and Targum, then a second Torah, then you'd be doing a Targum first. Is that before the second Torah, is that a problem or not? So the Mishnah Berurah and in the Shaaretz Tzion, they both say that really you're supposed to do the Torah first before you do any Targum, but he says, v'nieved, it is okay if the order is even reversed. So that's one kind of halacha lamais issue. A second issue, which again we alluded to in the beginning, but now I want to address for a few minutes, is what counts as Targum? How literally do we mean Targum, and what possible substitutes... What possible substitutes are there? So first of all, the Rishonim seem to discuss different Targumim. There's the Targum Yerushalmi and also the different things, which is, as I said, I don't know really so much about. But let's assume that we're talking in the Gemara, Pashtus, about Targum Unkulus. So Tosfos there, on the daf in Brachos, Tosfos quotes that the Yesh Mefarshim, that really it's Lav Dafka. They lived in a land where they spoke Aramaic, so they said Targum, but really it's whatever vernacular. If you live in France, do it in French, and if you live in England, do it in English. It doesn't matter. That's the first sheet quoted in Tosfos. But then Tosfos rejects that. Tosfos says, Yesh Mefarshim, but that's, he rejects it because he says the Targum is very special, and it's very unique, and it teaches us things that we wouldn't otherwise know. It's not a straight literal translation, and that's going to be very important. It's not a literal translation, Targum. Unkulus is an interpretation, and sometimes there are really chidushim that we draw, right? Let's just take the most famous example in all of Targum, which everyone quotes from the beginning of Bereishis, right? The idea of what does it mean that Hashem was the Yipach Af of Nishmas Chaim? So he says, Ruach Mamalala, right? That's not a translation of the words. That's a fundamental example, fundamental interpretation. So the Tosfos says it's got to be Targum. So comes along the Rosh Nakamura, says, well, if the idea of Targum is that it's an interpretation, not just a translation, what about Rashi? Rashi's also an interpretation. And Rashi has chazals, and Rashi's very good, and in fact, the Rosh paskins this way. You can substitute Rashi for Targum. Yam Shel Shlomo in Kiddushin quotes the Smag, who first argues and doesn't allow Rashi, because he has the Smag, because Unkulus is Misinai, and that has a special skula. But then, Lamaskana eventually does seem to, Yam Shel Shlomo at least seems to also paskin like the Rosh, that you can use Rashi. Oh, so that's, I think that's correct. Maybe on those psukim you would do maybe you would do a third pasuk, just like the Gemara's Rishon seem to say on a pasuk that's all Hebrew, if there's no targum for you, you would just do a third mikra. Because if you read, even if you read in Unkelos, but you're in essence reading a third mikra, so how you would do a third mikra there? I'm not.
Right.
Well, you certainly have to be safe. You can certainly do a targum, but so the Shulchan Aruch takes the pasuk this way. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis says Rashi can substitute, even though the targum is always, the Shulchan Aruch adds, the targum is ideal. And if you take a look there, the Taz and the Bir Lacha, they discuss the relative merits of both. The Chavadas of Avadja, even though Maran HaMachaber has said that you can do Rashi, Rav Avadja is very, very, very pro Targum. And the premise of the Shaila was, well, what if people don't understand Targum? So he says, then teach it. People should learn it. But he's still very, very pro Targum. Just to show you how far you can go to the other extreme, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Tzena Ure'ena. What's a Tzena Ure'ena? It's a Yiddish interpretation. And that is not just, is that just a translation? I don't think so. I think it's an interpretation. It weaves in Ma'amari Chazal, and the Mishnah Berurah says it counts. If you know how to read and understand Yiddish, then that can count as well. And I did not hear directly from him, but I did hear in the name of Rabbi Willig that he thought that the Aryeh Kaplan Chumash might work as well, because if you take a look at the Aryeh Kaplan Chumash, it's not a literal translation. The Aryeh Kaplan Chumash, in the translation itself, to tell you in the footnotes, is taking into account Mefarshim, Chazal. And I'm not here to get a. I don't get a commission at all. But it was, and I like the article Chumash. It was nice, but it's fundamentally different. Every now and then, there are examples where the article gives you a non-literal translation. But those are the exceptions, not the rule. I'm not discussing if it's a good translation or bad translation. I'm not a scholar. But Lamaisa, the article meant to make a translation. They have all the mafarshim, but they put that in the footnotes. They put them on the bottom of the page. I think that reading the English in the article would for sure not be, but maybe, again, certainly more b'dievet even than Rashi, let alone than Unkelus, but perhaps for someone who's not going to be able to do the others, if you have an Aryeh Kaplan Chumash, again, I didn't hear this from him, and he's an Eretz Yisrael now, I think, or Willis, I couldn't even ask him, but I did hear in his name that perhaps that might work. Okay, just two more issues. Number one is whether women are obligated or not. So this is discussed by the poskim, some of the earlier poskim. More recently, the Mishnah Halachos from Menashe Klein has a tshuva on this, and they basically all, everyone pretty much agrees, that anyone who argues hold that women are peturos. No matter what approach you take, it's still obviously Talmud Torah, Dekadin, and it certainly it could be an issue. What I didn't see someone say, but Lachora they would say, I guess in Satmar, I'm sure they would hold that it's Usher. For them to do, because the Satmar Rav was really consistent, because Rashi, let alone Targum, but Rashi is Mamish Tarash Shabal Peh, and he held that it's really also from the Tarash Shabal Peh. So maybe he held the Aryeh Kaplan, I don't know, but he certainly wouldn't have let him do Rashi. So I don't know if you get that from the other Sfarim, Bechlal, they just say the women are Potter. You know, I would say if you have a woman who would be committed enough, it's certainly something to encourage. We downplay too often, you know, what Rashi is, because we think that somehow that's for kids or something, I don't know, but, you know, someone who would be a Baki in Chumash and Rashi would be a real Talmud Chacham. You know, they say a story, I heard a story that they say from Yisrael Salanter, that he said if someone could pass a Bechina on Parshas Mishpatim with Rashi, he'd give them Smicha. It's hard to believe that would have been Yor Smicha, not that would have been Yon Yadin, Mishpatim. Exactly, it was Rashi, right? Exactly. And I think they say about Lublin, Yimamish had to know Rashi, you had to know Rashi cold. I think so. I don't know how liberal they were in their testing, but that was the expectation. So these are some of the issues.
What about the possession in Bangalore? Why wouldn't that be a patur for women?
I said they're patur.
Oh, you said outside, because
because you don't need that. What's the Zman Grama? You have a whole year even perhaps. But you don't need to come on to Zman Grama. I'm saying it's fundamentally it's a din in Talmud Torah. Yes, it's a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv. It's definitely a chiyuv. Yes, Mitzvah Rabbanan. In fact, Rav Moshe, I'll end with this. It's an ominous musr, this one. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Or Chaim Chelekei, where he was asked about the Bnei Torah. The Bnei Torah and Talmid Chachamim have to do Shnai Mikra. And he laments the fact that Talmid Chachamim and Yeshiva Light have convinced themselves that they don't need to do it. And he says it's a full-fledged chiv. It's a short tshuva. It's worth looking at. He can't come up with any teretz. So I'm looking for one, but... I didn't find it in Rav Moshe. He's very, very adamant. And Shmir Shabbos called Chassa and Perek Mem Beis quotes this as well. It's a full fledged chiyuv, no matter how knowledgeable one is. I'll leave you with one story. I have a friend, Danny Rapp, who, to his great credit, is one of the few people I know who's really a keseder. He's been doing it for years, doesn't miss. So he told me that years ago, after I don't know how many years of doing it, he went to Rabbi Willig and he said to him, "You know, I've done it for 20 years. Maybe now I should try something else. Maybe Ramban or, you know, something like that." And he said, "Rabbi Willig looked at him and said, 'Danny, you don't know Rashi. You know, there's just so much.' And sure enough, Kachav every year, you know, now came out on every parsha. Doesn't know how many times you've seen it. All of a sudden, you know, you realize something that you didn't realize. It's that rich. So, halvai, we should be mechazik ourselves to be bekeim in Tanakh and at least in Rashi, if not the Targum.
One more question.
Is your recording?